Well, it's almost like a doctor performs lots of surgeries, and that's a pretty intimate relationship. But once the goal has been achieved and the person is healed and they're out of the hospital, you just don't have contact with them. So you were almost like a...
I was a metasurgeon.
A metasurgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did your work, and that was that.
Right.
Now, on Pleiadian lineup, which happens twice a year, as we said, is there any kind of resonance or recall from that moment in 1983 as you go through and experience and observe each Pleiadian lineup? Do certain things get activated from that time, almost like they were seeds on a time delay, time release?
Yes,
activation.
I have found, first of all, the discovery of star markings that I was tracking became an intricate part of all this, because during this May and November time, the sun is 25, 26, 27 degrees of either Scorpio, which is November, and Taurus in May. And I was noticing that each time this activation would take place, even during the year when the moon would even pass by, I would notice that it'd be kind of like the activation of a time capsule that would go off. And there'd be times when I'd be really intense doing something very profound, then over the side of my head, I would see myself in Cairo, Egypt, with my arms up. Or I'd see myself talking to Mahmud, and Egypt would flash at me for many, many years during, you know, and of course I'd run to my ephemeris and I'd say, oh look, the moon just was at 26 Scorpio. Oh goodness, that must be why I had that thought, you know. And of course I didn't know for a very long time that Mahmud, he kept a candle with my picture on it burning in the subterranean of that pyramid, and he had it burning for 3 years.
Wow.
So no wonder, you know, it's like I was psychically being, you know, beamed to by Mahmud all that time. And he did that without my permission, which I must say is a little disconcerting, you know?
Well, maybe on some level he was told to do that.
I'm sure.
And he didn't understand why.
Well, it's like the missing cat. You know, I had a cat named Hakim, and I lived on the island of Aruba. And I was really anxious to get back to Hakim. This was after the president had been shot. And so we had the neighbors watching our cat. And so when I got home, the cat was not anywhere to be found. And the next door neighbor said that a big flashing blue light had come and hit the house. And when he went over to check it, the cat was gone. So I was rather disturbed that my cat was gone. And I was writing to Mahmud in Egypt. About 6 months later, I, you know, said something about that my black cat, Hakim, was missing. And he wrote back and he said, oh, he's here. I have him. So on my next trip to Egypt, which is in 83, and I immediately went to Mahmud's house, there was my cat, Hakim. Now, this is part of the demonstration that they had set for me. Again, no one warned me or told me in advance, oh, we're going to take your cat. No, it just happened that way.
So, and I think that's a good metaphor of example that things happen beyond just being a demonstration, that Pleiadians' jurisdiction over their experiments, and if they want someone to understand or know something, they can make things happen, and they don't have to ask your permission for it, and you just you just know that they're doing it for a good reason.
Yeah, and understand.
And move on.
Yeah, understanding is not a prerequisite for a happening. I got to really know that. I didn't have to understand it. I just had to witness it, write it down, put it in a journal, and put it in the bank vault. That's what I kept doing with all. You know, I have like 100 of these stories like this. I mean, it's a wonder. You know, I could even walk and chew gum after some of these episodes. And sometimes I really couldn't.
Let's go back to the discovery of star markings, because I think it ties into your Cairo trip in 83. Let's back up to 1980.
Okay.
When you started asking people for their birthday.
Yes, I would. A very curious thing. I had this little red ephemeris, and it, of course, shows exactly where the planets are, you know, on a person's birthday and year. And I was traveling a lot, so I'd be on airplanes and taxi cabs and restaurants, and I'd just be meeting a lot of different people, and I'd say, you know, by the way, give me your birth date. And so they'd give it to me, and I'd look it up, and they'd have these star markings. And I kept thinking, gee, why am I just running into people with these particular star markings? These 25.
And you didn't know at the time that they were star markings.
No, started just these 25, 26, 27 degree planets. And I thought, well, this is beyond coincidence. This went on for like 3 years. I thought I was losing my mind over it for a while, because no matter where I went, this one particular time in this restaurant, I thought, okay, I'm going to really put it to the test here. And I stood up, made an announcement, and had everybody, you know, write their birth information. And, you know, they were like, almost all of them, you know, they had the star markings, and I was just blown away.
Out of how many people?
75, I believe. 75 people. So it's like, whoa, you know.
So you got back to your room and took a look at the pieces of paper and started looking them up in your ephemeris.
Yeah.
And you don't know why you had the impulse to ask that particular group. This is just another example of...
With a bottle of brandy.
that came after.
Yeah, that came afterwards.
What had really just happened.
Now, what was really strange, after we got back on the airplane to come home from Cairo, after Pleiadian lineup, it stopped. It stopped just like it started. I started asking people on the airplane and, you know, on the trip home, not one person had the star markings. It was over. It was over. I can't explain that, except to say, when it ended, it ended.
Because you had gathered the pattern and seen the preponderance of 25, 26, 27 degree planets, and once you got it, there was no need to continue the lesson demonstration.
I guess so.
And, by the way, this is... this article on the discovery of star markings can be found on the website starseedhotline.com. Look in the vault of knowledge and click on the discovery of star markings, and you will read about this story, and also there's a story of the Cairo trip with pictures. And you might want to note just to our listeners, when the there's a picture on there. It's called Lavendar's Bubble. That was taken right before she got on the airplane to go to Cairo. And the picture's worth 1,000 words. That's all I'm going to say, folks. So go look at it. So, and then there was a correlation, was there not, between this discovery of 25, 26, 27, which we will just call galactic degrees of any astrological sign, including May and November. There was a correlation between that and the Giza crystals, wasn't there?
Yes. Yes, in fact, what happened after that is that I took these crystals and put them in the sun every month when the sun was 25, 26, and 27 degrees and kept them charged. In fact, my entire crystal collection, which was, you know, hundreds of crystals, would go outside during these 3 days. And this was quite a task. This was part of the experiment, was to charge these crystals and to set up the crystal grids in different places around the world. And when these crystals got back from Egypt, there was a little crystal network of people that knew about these crystals and actually would take them and would carry them and bury them in different places. And like I said on my website, starseedhotline.com, the story of a group that took them to Australia, to Ayers Rock. More people asked for crystals to be taken there than any other place. Over 100 people have spent the time, money, energy. Can you imagine being wakened in the middle of the night and told by this voice from a crystal that tells you that you need to go to Ayers Rock, buy an airplane ticket, and go place this crystal at Ayers Rock? This happened to 100 people. And I still am waiting to see what's going to happen with Ayers Rock. Now, just some time ago, they found this marking on top of Ayers Rock. It matches a hieroglyphic that they found in one of the recent pyramids, and they have deciphered that hieroglyph to mean time travel. So I'm very hopeful that there will be other things that will be revealed through these Giza crystals, Ayers Rock, and time travel. That's very exciting to me.
That's a big piece of the puzzle, which we don't know what it's going to look like yet. And there are places all around the world, in addition to Ayers Rock, isn't there, that people took these crystals? It's almost, it reminds me of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, because people were compelled to do something, and they didn't know why, but they just couldn't stop themselves. They had to go do it.
A couple of other stories that I'd like to share with you, and I don't know if I have ever told you this before or not, but I had this little bag, little silk purse that I kept these crystals in as I traveled. You know, I would just hand them to people on the airplanes or wherever I'd go, or I'd plant them. And after a while, I kept thinking, well, why doesn't this little bag ever get empty? And no matter how many crystals I'd give away, it was always full. And after a while, I just realized that they were somehow having babies or something. They were multiplying. I don't know how it happened, but and this went on for many years until one day it just stopped. And then when I started giving them out, I gave them out, and they were all gone. So that was kind of an interesting thing that would happen. And here's the other thing. I was having kidney stones, and I went with my friend down to San Diego. She was going to go see her gynecologist. And so I said, well, do you think she would take a sample of my urine and tell me what kind of, you know, crystals what's going on with me? And so she did, and she called me in, and my friend, and she said, we've never seen anything quite like this. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, in your urine, you're producing quartz crystals. You're not producing calcium crystals like other people. And I said, oh. And then I started wondering, maybe that's where the supply was coming from. I didn't know. I mean, you know, after so many weird things had happened, you know, who was I to question anything?
Well, you know, they could have been materialized, teleported. There's no telling how that happened, but the point is that it happened, and it was a demonstration that you were being monitored, and your actions and the people you were giving them to. Nothing was random or accidental.
And when you think about it, really think about it, they're 3,500 years ahead of us in technology and awareness and consciousness. So the things that we see in Harry Potter movies, you know, are probably kindergarten to them and just old school.
As far as what we would call magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just as much as if, you know, you go back 3,500 years to, you know, 1,500 years before Christ.
Right.
And pop out an iPod or a cell phone or a GPS.
That's
and,
right.
You know, it's just a matter of relative magic. It's not magic to us, but it would be to them. And
right.
Therefore, you know, we're like the cavemen to them.
In
technology.
Right.
But I think isn't the true ultimate purpose of the Pleiadians and all of their experiments the balancing between spiritual growth and technological growth?
Yes, and it's an evolutionary program from the Pleiades. They place within their starch seed and their children the opportunities for advancement, for balance between the people and the planet. That is the whole agenda.
So that we don't repeat, become Atlantis again.
That's right.
And the codes that these star children carry can be tracked in their natal astrological chart by the way of the galactic degrees 25, 26, 27.
Right.
So if a person has a planet, any planet, even house cusps at the galactic degrees of Scorpio and Taurus, they are coded for Pleiadian.
Now,
agenda.
A person can be born with these markings and not be starseed. I must tell you that not everyone, but it is a way of tracking most of them. See, the bloodline and the soul records and the astrological markings, that makes a combination of trinity for the starseed experiments. It isn't so much just the date and time. However, I've really not known of any that had that birth date that didn't have some connection to some kind of starseed operation, because the whole planet is a starseed operation of some sort.
I just got the image that the Pleiadian experimental starseed, there's different levels, whether you're like a private or a general, and all the levels in between.
That's right.
And while there may be many people with those codings in their astrological chart, they may not be a lead actor, so to speak, and might not be consciously aware.
You know, it's all about holding a certain amount of life force and light. Some are just brighter than others. That's why in the movies they call them movie stars. The people that have what they call it, when the it walks in the room, that this energy around a person, it's because they're holding a life force and a light and an energy that for some reason is activated to more people than others and will be. It's almost like a calling card that's given to some people that are born here to actually be ambassadors for the starseed programs. And that's why a lot of celebrities are truly starseeds. And I would say that in the celebrity world, however, the positive and the negative goes with both.
Well, I know from my own research and also guidance and information from you that the more star markings you have doesn't make you smarter or better. It simply gives you more of that charisma, that magnetism where people they pay attention to you.
Yeah, it's a galactic magnetism.
A case in point, of all the celebrity charts that I've looked at, the two people that had the very most number of star marking points in their natal chart were Elvis and Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And
that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, but yet, like Galileo and Leonardo da Vinci, they had respectively maybe, you know, six or seven or eight or nine. So it doesn't really mean, it's not correlated to genius as much as it's correlated to energy and magnetism and charisma and effectiveness.
It's like baking a cake. It's like all the ingredients come together.
In the right balance.
In the right balance. Then you have a voila, you know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So you have the blood, the genetics, the soul records, you know, that special something. And it all comes together, and then pretty soon you have an Elvis or a Johnny Depp or, you know, someone that not only is a wonderful person on screen, but a wonderful person in life.
And I know, and it can go both ways, because sometimes you have, when you have that much energy, if you don't have the integrity to use it correctly and wisely, you can go awry and get so full of yourself that, you know, you can not be using your power for good.
True. The other thing I wanted to say about the Pleiadian lineup of 83 was that when the ships came down, and they came down all over the world on this 3-day period, they took a lot of their Pleiadians home, and they brought a lot of walk-ins to continue their work. And when I got back to the United States, I found out that in Hollywood area, that 9 or 10 major super celebrities had been hospitalized during those 3 days. I also noticed that the emergency rooms and the hospitals were full all over the country on those 3 days, everywhere. And I always took note of that. I said,
"Oh, makes you wonder how many of them."
Right.
Changed places.
That's right. That's
because
right.
It's obviously saves time to not have to go through the birth and growth process.
And the reason for the walk-in procedures is because of the time element, being that simply, there was an agreement a long time ago that no matter what anyone was doing at that particular moment in time, that when the ships came to take them home, they would simply have to step out of the body and turn it over to another walk-in. And that was the agreement. So the November 83 Pleiadian lineup was planned at several different levels, because there was a whole group of people that, different age groups. It wasn't all just one age group. It was all ages for all different kinds of reasons. And we had a lot of great inventors come from the Pleiades at that time. And we had musicians and people that brought some great new thoughts for our planet on this Pleiadian lineup. And I have met some of them. It's been quite a journey.
So here we are 26 years later, coming up on November Pleiadian lineup, and I would say anyone who knows their astrological chart and knows that they have the Pleiadian star markings, it's a time to focus on why you came here. It's a time to ask for guidance, and it's also a time to rededicate yourself.
It's also a time to be a co-creator. You know, if you want to participate in something that really feels like this is something you're part of, then it's time to be a co-creator in the creation.
Well, I think that's a very good way to end this conversation. It's time to co-create. So make the most of your Pleiadian lineup coming up, starting November 16th this year. I think it starts at noon.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Lavendar, thank you so much for your time, and we will have another interview on another interesting subject coming up very soon.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, this is the first time that I have actually recorded this for the radio or for any media. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do it with me today.
Thank you so much, Lavendar. This is Arielle from StarseedHotline.com. We will talk to you again soon. Goodbye.